مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, the life and our lantern, the sun of guidance, the essence and soul of our lives, the comfort and coolness to our eyes, the one who journeyed beyond the seven skies, the one whose face is more radiant, more beautiful than the sunrise. Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallama. It is mentioned about them that Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated that the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah alayhi salatu was salam, they came out and he said, I also followed them. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered a garden, an orchard, and performed sajda. So he came out, he followed them, they entered a beautiful garden and he performed sajda. Now the sajda was so long, not an ordinary sajda. It's mentioned that the sajda was so long that I feared that the blessed soul had left his blessed body. This is how long the sajda was. So therefore, approaching him, I looked at him closely. Now after the Prophet Ali salatu was salam, they lifted their blessed head from sajda, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, he asked, O Abdul Rahman, what happened? That what was the reason for your astonishment? Why did you come next to me to see? And they mentioned that I told him what I feared. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did they say? That Jibra'il Amin has told me, just now has told me, are you not pleased with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Are you not pleased that Allah has said, whoever recites upon you, salat upon you, darood upon you, I will shower mercy upon him. Jibra'il Amin said to Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wa sallam, are you not pleased that Allah Azza wa Jal has said, whoever recites darood upon you, I will shower mercy upon him, and whoever sends salam upon you, I will grant him my protection. So my dear brother Islam, if you want protection of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then recite darood upon the best of creation, alayhi salatu wa salam. Let's all recite in one voice, Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallama. My dear Islamic brothers, although the religion of Arabs was Deen Ibrahimi alayhi salatu wa salam, but it was badly distorted. Monotheism was replaced by polytheism, and the place of worshipping one Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was occupied by idol worshipping. And some of them used to consider the idols to be their gods, while others would worship trees, moon, stars, the sun, and even some wicked non-believers, they were engaged in worshipping the angels and declaring them to be the daughters of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this was in the period of ignorance. And the moral decline and the character that worsened to such an extent that they were indulged in drinking alcohol, gambling, adultery, killings, bloodshed all the time. So those individuals who would do this, who would declare the sun, the moon, the stars, and even some angels as to be daughter of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, at the end what happened? Their character deteriorated And what happened? Because then they got involved in adultery, gambling, killings, bloodshed all the time. Says the hardness of the heart can easily be measured by the most heinous act of burying infant girls alive. These exact same individuals who claim that the stone, the stars and the moon, these were gods, or they used to worship them, these are the exact same individuals, they would bury infant girls alive as soon as they were born. So as soon as they were born, they would bury them alive. And sometimes they said that they would even slaughter humans to present them to their idols as a sacrifice. That here, I slaughter my child for you as a sacrifice. And Madim al-Islam, this act of extreme brutality was committed in such a way that at specific timings, a white camel or a human used to be brought for this purpose. And they would come together toward the sacred place three times singing. They would sing whatever they need to sing. And thereafter, the chief of the tribe or the aged worshipper, whoever is the aged one amongst them, would make a first quick blow, striking that camel or human, and would drink some of his blood. Then the attendees would rush towards that slaughtered white camel or human, tearing it to pieces and would devour it raw. So this is what they would do in the period of ignorance. So in short, my dear brother in Islam, brutality and barbarism prevailed in pre-Islamic Arab culture. And during the battles, burning men alive, slitting the stomach of women, slaughtering children and tossing them on spears in the battlefields were not considered the evil and offensive types of acts. So at that time, these were not evil. It was a common norm at that time. And this was the condition of the world, my dear brother in Islam, that this miserable and pathetic condition was not just confined to Arabia. In fact, the entire world was plunged into darkness. So thus, the majority of the Persian people, they used to worship fire. They would commit certain acts with their own family relatives. And most of the Turkish individuals were engaged in destroying, ravaging, plundering towns, villages all the time. Idol worshipping, cruelty were a common practice pre-Islamic Arabian era. And it's mentioned some people of India, they knew nothing about idol worshipping. Hence, the sheer darkness of unbelief and ignorance was overspread everywhere. Meaning everywhere you would go, north, east, south, west, there was some sort of idol worshipping, some sort of disbelief. Even not believing in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is disbelief. Now, what happened after? Subhanallah. Under such height of universal inhumanity and cruelty, when pitch darkness and ignorance became rampant, the most revered and renowned, the embodiment of perfection, the most generous and kind, the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was born as a radiant beacon of guidance for the entire world. Amongst all of this inhumane acts, then the beloved of Allah, Hazur Aka alayhi salatu salam, they were born. And after 55 days of the event of Ashabi Fil, on 12th Rabiul Nur Sharif, corresponding to Monday 20th April 571, at the break of dawn, when some stars were visibly twinkling in the sky, the most shiny face like moon, full of musk fragrance, circumcised without any umbilical cord, with the blessed seal of the prophethood radiating between the blessed shoulders, kohal eyed, they were born with surma in their eyes. And with this miraculously pure and clean body, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam came to this world, placing his blessed both hands on the floor and raising his blessed head towards the sky. So this is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, my dear brother in Islam. It's mentioned in Rabi'ul Awwal, Umeedon ki dunya saath le aya. Rabi'ul Awwal, Umeedon ki dunya saath le aya. Duaon ki qabooliyat ko haathon haath le aya. My dear brother in Islam, subhanallah, the Prophet Ali salatu wasalam, when they were born, what did they do? We hear this a lot. Let's listen to this. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed sajda, prostration, soon after his birth. As soon as they were born, Prophet Ali salatu wasalam went into sajda. Now what did they say in sajda? As soon as someone is born, today when an individual and a child is born, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is screaming, is crying. But the Prophet ﷺ is no ordinary child. Nabi Akram ﷺ, as soon as they were born, the Prophet ﷺ performed sajda. And the following dua, supplication went on their blessed lips, Rabbi habli ummati. Rabbi habli ummati, that O Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me my ummah. Grant me my ummah. This was on the blessed tongue of Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam. This is why Shair says, Rabbi habli ummati, kehte huwe paida huwe, haq ne farmaya ke baksha, as-salatu was-salam. So my dear brother in Islam, you have already heard the conditions of the vast majority of Arabs that were before. Now, in spite of living among such brutal people, our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam never engaged himself in fun and entertainment such as games, etc. The personality of the most beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they always abstained from every type of evil activity. As the blessed personality of the beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was adorned by the most incredible moral character and ethics that even his own tribesmen used to call him with a noble affiliation, they would call him a trustworthy and truthful individual. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to stay in the cave of Hira, Mount Hira, which is on the left side when going towards Mina Sharif from Makkah. And they would engross himself in worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala continuously for many days. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Majib ibn Islam, when they were the age of 40 years old, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was allowed to declare his prophethood on behalf of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Just remember that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet from the start. But the announcement of prophethood, this was made at the age of 40. So otherwise, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioned was a prophet before even the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember, the last prophet to bless this world was Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam. He is Khatamun Nabiyyin, La Nabiyya Ba'di. So they were the last one, but they were a prophet even before the creation of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned that he was once asked, Mata Kunta Nabiyyan? Mata Kunta Nabiyyan? The O Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam, since when were you a prophet? Since when were you a prophet? He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam replied, Wa adamu bayna ruhi wal jasad. That I was a prophet even that time when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was between the soul and the body. So Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam was even a prophet then. The shair is mentioned, Ke Adam ka putla na bana tha, jab bhi wo dunya mein nabi the, hai unse aagaz e risalat. So my dear brother in Islam, it was the 22nd February 610 AD, the most sacred moments when the noblest Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was showering his blessings upon the cave of Hira. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam first time came in the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam with the following blessed Quranic verses as a revelation. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq ila akhiri till the end. Whose translation is, read in the name of your Lord who created man from clot. Read, and your Lord only is the most beneficent, the one who taught to write with the pen, the one who taught man all what he did not know. Now, after a certain period of time, following these blessed verses, a few more verses were revealed, such as Ya ayyuhal muddathir ila akhirhi till the end, whose translation from Kanzul Iman Sharif, O the cloaked one, i.e. the Prophet Ali salatu wasalam, rise up and warn and proclaim the purity of your Lord and stay away from idols. So my dear brother in Islam, something we need to point out here. Now this divine command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that qum fa anzir, i.e. rise up and warn, refers to instilling divine fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala amongst the people and inviting them towards Islam had become obligatory act upon the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, still there was no commandment of preaching publicly. So therefore, the beloved and the blessed Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was preaching secretly amongst the trustworthy people. Alhamdulillah, a number of them, number of men and women, they embraced Islam by the invitation of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first among men to come into the fold of Islam. First person amongst the men to accept Islam was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So today we learned at least something, those brothers that did not know, the viewers of Madani channel, that were not aware that who was the first man to accept Islam. So today, alhamdulillah, that one of the benefits of Da'wat Islam is weekly sunnah inspired ijtima is that we learn new things. The first individual amongst the men to accept Islam, to come into the fold of Islam, is none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so amongst men was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amongst the boys, the first individual to accept Islam was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Mawla Ali Mushkil Kusha, Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They were the first individual amongst the boys to accept Islam. So far we've learned that amongst the men it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and amongst the boys it was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, among the women at that time, the first woman to accept Islam was Sayyida Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Was the first among the women to accept Islam, and Sayyiduna Zaid bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first among the freed slaves, and Sayyiduna Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first amongst the slaves who accepted Islam. So my dear brothers, these blessed individuals, subhanallah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after they accepted Islam, they started to preach immediately towards Islam. Because of their preaching, because of their individual effort calling people towards Islam, towards righteousness, amongst them, amongst those many who accepted Islam, there were five such individuals amongst them who are known as Ashra-i Mubashira. We've heard that name, that those 10 blessed companions who were promised paradise in this world. So those blessed five is Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, and Sayyidina Zubair bin Awan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Ashra-i Mubashira, something we, if those individuals that don't know what Ashra-i Mubashira is, so the views of Madani channel and the brothers are mentioned present here. Ashra-i Mubashira are those 10. How many? 10 blessed companions of Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam, who were given glad tidings of Jannah in their worldly lives by who? By the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself. So whenever someone asks, do you know who Ashra-i Mubashira are? Or what are they? Then you can mention that these were those 10 blessed individuals that during the lifetime of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst upon this earth, they were given glad tidings of Jannah by who? By the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, وہ دسوں جنوں کو جنت کا مجدہ ملا اس مبارک جماعت پہ لاکھوں سلام. So my dear brother Islam, subhanallah, what a great passion and intense yearning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had for calling towards righteousness, that as soon as he had associated with the noble Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he started a desperate longing for making others associate with the beloved alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, they had a great sense of responsibility as well as great worth, high regard and importance towards Islam. Today, what is preventing us from calling other individuals towards Islam? Is it because we are shy? Is it because, or if I call him towards Islam, or he might say something to me, or you know, he might shout at me? So with these fears, remember my dear Islam, at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there was more fear then, more fear of attacks, more fear of death than there is of now. But even then, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Nabi Akram alayhi salam, did not leave preaching towards Islam. Today, why has that sunnah of the beloved alayhi salam, that flame, why has that been put out? We need to ignite that flame within us and start preaching towards Islam. Any person you see, give him brief neki ki dawat. Call him towards the weekly ijtima of Dawat Islami. Say, Jummah happens here, namaz happens here. Come to read namaz. Initially, you should always do neki ki dawat towards farz actions if a person doesn't read. But bring him closer towards the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Madrasatul Madina Balighan, if you know that individual who you're speaking to is a family friend, when you know that his tajweed is incorrect, and you know a place that corrects the tajweed of adults, then you should give him dawah that, you know, oh my friend, you can speak on a level with him. The oh fulan, oh Zaid, for example, in this place they correct our tajweed. I go there and my tajweed has improved. I think you should go there as well. Don't force anyone, don't use such words which a person feels compelled that, you know, he's shouting at me if I don't go. No, speak, have sweet words, meethe bol. Speak politely that, you know, brother, I think we should think of our hereafter. Narrate some ahadith to him. Regarding namaz, there's masail that if your tajweed is not correct, then what will be the situation of our namaz? So if you say these few things, then inshallah, Zawajal, you'll be able to convince them. So this was the act of Nabi Akram alayhi sattu salam, our sahaba kiram alim ridwan. That there are some individuals, my dear in Islam, subhanallah, that just looking at the blessed face of Rasulullah alayhi sattu salam, the non-believers would accept Islam. Just by looking at the blessed face. And then what will be the state of their guftar, of their blessed speech of Nabi Akram alayhi sattu salam. So today we can think about ourselves that when we approach a Muslim or another individual to call him towards Islam, call him towards closer to Islam or to the masjid, just by looking at me, will he run away or will he actually stay there in the company and give me a few minutes of his time? So my dear Ben Islam, this is something that we should act upon. And this is a summary of a statement of an Islamic brother in Pakistan, Karachi, that it is the incident of the last 3-day international Sunnah inspired gathering of Dawat Islami held in Korangi, Babul Madina, Karachi. After which this congregation, this ijtima, was shifted to Madinatul Awliya, Multan. It's mentioned that we with a few friends formally attended the ijtima, but were depriving ourselves of the blessings of the speeches in the night. So it was a 3-day one, so there were speeches morning, day and night. But the night one, we didn't really attend that. So we left the ijtima, found some place outside, and we started to smoke, and we were gossiping. And it's mentioned that in the meanwhile, conversations about the mysterious and thrilling stories of jinnis, they broached over there, which made the environment a little scary, because it was at night, and generally when you speak about jinns or jinnis, etc., you know, especially once it's daytime, once it's night, then it's more scary. So in the meantime, a middle-aged Islamic brother, at that time wearing a green imama turban, approached us and greeted with salam and asked, "May I say something if you permit?" We replied in the affirmative, "Of course, why not?" He said in a very sympathizing tone that, "Having seen your way of attending the ijtima, I recalled my past life, that I saw you were attending some of the speeches. By night time, you would go out, you would smoke, you would gossip regarding, you know, whatnot. So when I saw this, I recalled my past life." Now what does he mean by this? He said, "I thought I share my memoir with you, my memories." He said that you may find some, you know, we might find some Madani pearls in it. He said afterwards, he started relating his past life. He said, "Firstly, I became addicted to cigarettes. And because of the bad company that he had, it led me to a fatal heroin addiction." So from cigarettes, because of his bad company, that led him to an addiction of heroin. He says, "I remained addicted to his evil addiction for 16 years. 16 years he was addicted to heroin. Now he said, this, and then he continued that being frustrated and disappointed due to all my evil habits, my family expelled me from my house. First it was cigarettes, then he became an addict of heroin, not for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, not for 10 years, 16 years. Then what happened after? Because of this act, his family kicked him out of his house, expelled him from the house. Then he said, I used to sleep on footpath. My family expelled me from the house and I used to sleep on footpath, used to collect edibles from the heap of garbage and ask for food to eat. So from cigarettes to heroin, 16 years, family removed him from the house, would sleep on the footpath. What he would eat, he'll see garbage, at the top there were some leftovers, edibles, he would eat them and he would ask people for food. He would say, you will be surprised to listen to that, I spent 16 years in the same dress. So 16 years, that same dress when he got expelled from the house, for the next 16 years that he was an addict, he spent that in the same dress for 16 years. He said, my condition was like that of a madman. Then he said that it is an account of a sacred night and it was probably the 27th of the blessed Ramadan Sharif. He goes, I, the most misfortunate person, was lying in a corner beside a heap of garbage dumped in a filthy state, and started to hear the greeting of salam. I, individual who was a 16-year addict of heroin, I was next to garbage and I suddenly hear someone saying salam. Someone saying salam. I opened my eyes and I saw two Islamic brothers wearing green imamah standing there and smiling. So when I opened my eyes, what did I see? Who was that one saying salam? It was two Islamic brothers standing in front of me there. They were smiling at me. He must be thinking that when was the last time someone saw me and smiled? Like generally when someone who's in one dress for 16 years, who's an heroin addict, you can probably smell it off him. No one would want to go near that individual. But these two Islamic brothers, he must be thinking this. That for 16 years, no one looked at me, no one smiled. If they were to look at me, they look at me in disgust. But there's two brothers here. First, they said salam to me. Secondly, along with saying salam, they were smiling at me. Look how great this brother would be feeling. Then what happened? They asked my name, he says, with great affection. And it was perhaps the first time in my life when someone addressed me with such kindness and compassion. Now what happened after? Afterwards, making some invitation towards goodness, remember, neki ki da'wat. After making individual efforts, they related the excellence of the sacred night of Shab-e Qadr. As I was already impressed by their lovely and graceful attitude. Furthermore, their sweet and pleasant conversation penetrated deeply into my heart and soul, and I accompanied them to the masjid. Now that person who was near a heap of garbage, what made him go into the masjid? It's the way that was the neki ki dawah, the invitation towards righteousness was delivered. Salam was given, smiling. And they asked their name in a good manner. And today we ask, what's your name? Our way of asking is different. Just us speaking to those individuals who are maybe Muslims, who are slightly away from Islam, like don't need namaz, don't come to the masajid. When we invite them to the masajid, do we ponder how we are speaking to them? But this individual might have been Islam. He said, I accompanied them to the masjid. He said, I removed my dirty and filthy clothes in the bathroom of the masjid and wore a neat and clean dress. When I entered the masjid for the first time in 16 years and made intention of salah, I was unable to hold my tears trickling down my cheeks. I sought true repentance from all other of my sins with tears, especially heroin addiction, and associated myself with the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. He says, Alhamdulillah, my family called me back home. That same family that kicked him out of his house, because he left his addiction, he repented sincerely, joined the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami, his family called him back also. is mentioned, I initiated into the spiritual order of Qadiriyya Razaviyya and became a murid of Ghaus-e-Azam. He says, I made a firm intention to quit heroin addiction at any cost. For this, I had to undergo extreme difficulties. He says, I used to cry in awful pain because remember, my dear Islam, leaving an addiction is not easy, it's hard, it's very difficult. But if you stay true and steadfast upon your intention, that difficulty will turn into ease as well. At the start, what did he say? He mentioned that I used to cry and, you know, I would be in a lot of pain because of this addiction that, you know, is forcing, my body is forcing me to have more, to take more. But he was adamant. He was steadfast in his intention, subhanAllah. And when this family saw this condition, their family members would cry. Even some people would advise me to smoke one and a half or half a cigarette. Some people would see him that he's in so much pain. He goes, you know, just drink one, it'll be alright, don't worry. Drink a half, you'll be okay. So these were some people. But alhamdulillah, this individual, he says that he knew that it will again, if he took one or a half, it will again fall me into an awful grip of addiction. And on the other hand, I would ask my family members to tie me to a charpai, a four-legged bed, which we know in our Indo-Pak areas, if it was required. Like if it was required that, you know, if you think that I will go out and will buy a cigarette or heroin again or do so, if you think firmly that you will do this, tie me to a charpai, don't let me go anywhere. SubhanAllah, look at this, my dear. Look how steadfast he is. First, he refused himself that, no, I don't want to go. Then some individuals, his friends were saying, it's alright, you can have one, have a half, you'll be okay. He goes, no. That's the second challenge. Third challenge was himself, that even after this, when I'm compelled, that because of my addiction is very hard to get rid of. He said to the family that if you see me going out for this niyat, make sure you tie me into the four-legged bed, charpai, and don't let me go. This was his steadfastness, my dear in Islam. Now what happened after all of this? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, this happened. But 4, 5, 6, 7 months, a year down the line, his addiction slowly eased out. His addiction, he said, that I started improving gradually and finally I got rid of this evil addiction completely and today I am a humble preacher of Dawat-e-Islami. So my dear Islam, having listened to this account of his life, that our eyes, we should ponder upon this. We should all seek repentance from our past sins and associate ourselves with the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Our beloved Prophet Ali Salatu Salam is mentioned, how long did they propagate the religion of Islam? It's mentioned that the message of Islam, they propagated the message of Islam secretly for 3 years. How many years? 3 years. Again, something new we learnt. Later when he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam started preaching Islam openly and condemning idol worshipping, it caused turmoil amongst the non-believers and the leaders and the dignitaries of Quraysh tribes came as a delegation to Abu Talib, the uncle of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, and made a complaint that your nephew talks ill of our gods along with calling our ancestors deviated and he claims that we are stupid. Kindly ask him not to do so. If you can't make him understand, then keep yourself away. We will settle this matter ourselves. Though Abu Talib had not embraced Islam, but he used to love his blessed nephew, i.e. Prophet alayhi salatu salam, too much. Therefore, he calmed them down gently and sent them back. And so my dear brother in Islam, our Nabi Akram alayhi salatu wasalam, there are so many waqi'at in regards to this that we can learn from the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that how they propagated Islam and how with so much difficulty the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they spread the beautiful religion of Islam. Alhamdulillah, today my dear brother in Islam, we are alhamdulillah Muslims. And this is something that we should thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for. This is something that we should ask ourselves, that today when I woke up in the morning, did we thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that, Ya Rab, alhamdulillah, I woke up today. There are many people in this world that went to sleep, but they stayed asleep. There are many people in this world that went to sleep but did not wake up in the morning. But we are those fortunate individuals, my dear Islam, that we went to sleep, but alhamdulillah, we woke up in the morning. Today, after we woke up, did we thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Number one. Number two, generally when a person wakes up, he goes to the bathroom. There's a mirror in the bathroom. Today when we looked at ourselves in the bathroom, did our thought cross our mind? Or whenever we had the chance to look at a mirror today? Or even in the car when you put that board underneath because to block sunlight, there's that mirror there. Or when there's that side back mirror that shows your cars behind you. Even when you look there, you can still see some of your forehead, some of your nose. Or any mirror generally. When we look at that, did we thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Today I could see. Today, alhamdulillah, I can see. There are many people in this world, my dear in Islam, they have eyes but they can't see. Many individuals in this world, they have ears but they can't hear. They have a tongue, they have a mouth, but they can't speak. Today, we are sat here. Did we thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He allowed us today to see, to hear, to read, to speak? This is something that we should ask ourselves, my dear in Islam. When was the last time we thanked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala over anything? Generally what happens, we go in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, I'm stuck in a problem. Ya Allah, if you sort this problem out for me, I will give this in sadaqah, I will give that in sadaqah. I will give this at charity, I will do this, I'll start reading namaz. As soon as your Lord accepts that dua, the intention goes out the window. Why is this? So, my dear in Islam, we should thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Remember, my dear in Islam, that thanking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a big thing. That our fingers. Okay, if someone wants to try to, you know, this ni'mah, this mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you want to see how important it is, just tie one of your hands for one day and try to do work with just one hand. It'd be difficult, near impossible, especially those that drive manual cars. How will you drive a manual car with one hand? Difficult. Then you will realize the importance of two hands. Even if you were to tie one finger and try to do a hold a glass with one finger tied of your full hand, you'll have difficulty in holding the glass. So these are the things, my dear Islam, that we should ponder that today, alhamdulillah, we are sat here on the carpet, on the floor. When is the last time we thanked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, today alhamdulillah, I am fit enough to sit on the floor. Ya Allah, today alhamdulillah, you have granted me health. Remember, my dear Islam, death itself, it doesn't, you know, it can come to anyone. Remember, it is not only for the elderly individuals. Death can come to me right now, it can come to me later, it can come to me after I finish the bayan, it can come to you as well. There's no guarantee that we will leave this place alive. Death is that. But one question I leave to you at the end of my bayan, my dear brother in Islam, something that we should ask ourselves. Ask ourselves one question. That at this very moment, right now, if me and you, if we were to pass away, if we were to die right now, now, based upon our actions, our previous actions, just answer this to yourself, honestly, and the viewers of Madani channel also. Ask yourself this question, if I was to die right now, will I, based upon my a'mal, be a good deeds, be a both a'mal, good and bad, based upon my a'mal, will I enter paradise or will I enter Jahannam? Ask this to yourself, honestly, with honest heart. Don't say, you know, here and then, I do this, I do that, and then forget. Many people, what they do, they remember their good deeds, but they don't remember their bad deeds. This is something that we need to change. That our pious predecessors, at the time of night, they would calculate the entire day. Oh, I spent this much time wasting my time. I could worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in that time. So don't waste time, my dear in Islam. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon what has been said. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala enable us to truly thank Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala enable us and allow us to preach the blessed religion of Islam towards other individuals and bring them closer towards Islam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, first and foremost, if any mistakes that I've mentioned are from me, any good I have mentioned from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Ameen, bijahi nabiyil ameen, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam.
May you keep ascending.